listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Call in 923-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Studio. My co-host today is Kevy.
How's it going?
What's
guys?
Up, Kev? How's it going?
Going very well.
So check this. This is the show where we talk about anything going on with teens and young adults, whether it's problems with relationships, parents, or anything that they've had to deal with. We also talk about things teens have learned and their successes in life. The show we talk about, you know what we talk about. Come on, man.
Talk about life.
Yeah, we talk about life. But the cool thing about it, the really, really cool thing about this show specifically, which ties in, and I'm so thankful, we have...
drum roll.
We have the author of a wonderful book, Kevin.
We have Julia Hoban.
Julia
Hoban. Author of Willow. A best-selling novel.
Yes.
New novel that just came out.
It is. Fortunately, we get to have her on our show today. We get to talk about what the book was about. We get to talk with her. This honestly, guys, this book is fantastic. Like I love books. I'm big on a reader. I'm a big reader. I find books to be interesting. But this book, I have to say, no joke, like fantastic. Fantastic. Like,
yeah.
Fantastic.
It's a mind-blowing book. It really gets you thinking and just, like,
yeah.
It pulls you in.
Just to give you a little synopsis, a little thing what's going on in the book, it's an amazing story. About a 17-year-old girl named Willow who's filled with depression and guilt and starts doing self-destructive actions, but eventually gets through her trauma and... That's pretty much the basis of the story. There's a lot of, you know, ins and outs. Kevy, do you want to elaborate a little bit?
I'd love to.
Sure.
So, here's the synopsis of the book. On a rainy March night, Willow Randall's parents drank too much and asked her to drive home. They never made it. Willow lost control of the car and both parents were killed. Now 17 years old, Willow has left behind her home, friends, and school to live with her older brother, his wife, and their new baby. Trapped in a new life, one she never expected, Willow desperately wishes things could return to the way they were. Tormented by guilt and petrified by grief, she goes through the motions and numbs her pain by secretly cutting herself. The only way she can gain control amidst the dysfunction and chaos. When her classmate, Guy, discovers her secret, it sparks an intense relationship that turns Willow's safe world upside down. It is Guy's steadfast refusal to be pushed away that forces Willow to relearn trust. Extremely smart and thoughtful, Hoban's complex character Willow faces reconfiguring her life without the people who mattered most and falls in love with the first person to know everything about her. It is through this tender, new connection with Guy, their shared love for books, and the love of her family that Willow begins to heal.
Thank you, Kevy. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
On the air... Teen Trends with Dave and Friends.
This is Julia Hoban.
Julia Hoban, thank you very much for calling in. I'm Dave. How's it going? We got Kevi in the studio as well.
Hello, Julia. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm actually very jealous that I'm calling you guys in L.A. because we had a horrific storm here yesterday, and I wish I was in the studio with you.
Oh, wow. Well, we wish that you were here with us as well. Julia, I honestly, you know what? Not coming from like, oh, yeah, your book was good. Like, not any of that. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Your book was amazing. I love it. It was fantastic. Like,
well, first of all, unlike most women, I know how to accept compliments. So feel free to say that as many times as you want.
That's funny.
I love hearing that from a 17-year-old guy because I've gotten an enormous amount of feedback. I won't be shy and I won't lie, but 99% of it has been from young women.
Really?
So it's very, very interesting for me to hear from a guy, and I'd love to. I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask what about the book spoke to you, what you liked about it.
Well, personally for me, I can relate in the sense of I'm in high school.
You know what? I'm going to interrupt you. You know what we have to do?
What do we have
to do? We have to say the name of the book.
Oh, my gosh.
We haven't said the name. People are listening and they're going, okay, what book is this?
We had a little...
Mal's Little Red Book? I mean, what book are they talking about?
The Little Red Riding Hood. No, we had a little intro prior to you calling. We talked about the book.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Once again.
Yeah. Oh, what's that? Oh, dude, that one book. No. Willow for everybody.
By Julia Hoban. Not to be confused with the Val Kilmer movie of the same name.
That's funny. We touched on, we read the synopsis of the book. We pretty much told listeners what it was about, and we told them that we had the pleasure of speaking to Julia Hoban herself. And,
well, guys are really on the ball and professional. I would like to say, because I know the synopsis, if I were one of your listeners and I heard that synopsis, it would not make me run to Barnes & Noble, fling myself at the customer service desk, and beg for a copy. I mean, it sounds pretty grim.
I agree.
Okay?
I totally agree. That's why we're definitely going to get into the book and show people the...
But it's not so grim.
Yeah, right? It's not. It's really not.
I mean, the bare bones of the plot are they sound fairly disturbing. But the themes the book explores are really about love, about hope, about healing, about redemption. I mean, the feedback I've gotten has been overwhelmingly, I didn't want to read this book. I was frightened to read it, but oh my gosh, it's so romantic.
Yeah,
oh my gosh, really was so inspiring.
I picked up the book and I read the back cover, and reading the back cover, I was hesitant on what to expect. You know, I didn't know if this was going to be, you know, more like depressing, more like deeper, like emotional, you know, issues and whatnot, or if it's going to be like more like a growing story. Like I kind of didn't know. So I opened the book and I started to read, and I came out a totally happy person. Like, honestly, when you read the book, it does not, like, it takes you. It like takes you like through like what you totally don't expect, you know, because, you know, you look at the cover of the book and it's, you know, a very depressed girl with, you know, tears, cuts through the pages. So you're just like, oh gosh, like what has this girl been through, you know? And that's just from the cover. But Julia, I wanted to get to asking you, you know, this is what it comes down to. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, there are a couple things. The main thing is that I think most, unfortunately, all of us are self-destructive. And especially in the teenage years when we're really not sure of where we're going or how we're going to get there. And I wanted to take one character from this very dark, depressing place to a place of hope and healing. And I wanted in the process, I hoped in the process, that I would be able to bring readers along with me on that healing journey.
Yeah.
Now, I chose cutting because it's just a very dramatic, very intense way of getting right into the heart of someone who's in a very bad place.
Right,
but
I
could have chosen anything. It could have been overeating, drinking, watching too much TV. I'll tell you something that you guys may find interesting or surprising, or maybe not surprising, depending on you and your friends.
Let's
I was doing the research for this, and I talked to treatment centers for cutters, treatment centers for the cutters, the three that I talked to, take four types of patients. Cutters, people who set fire to themselves, people who have compulsive hair pulling, which might sound gross but not that bad, but it can lead to very serious things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's bad.
The fourth disorder is people who text too much and who spend too much time on the internet.
Oh,
and the reason I bring that up is because I said we're all self-destructive. So spending time on the internet, that doesn't sound so bad, right? But it, in fact, in some cases it is.
Wow.
So my point is that I chose cutting because it's this very dramatic way of getting to the heart of the matter.
Right, right.
But it could have been someone who was addicted to the internet.
Yeah.
You know, you could have friends who are wasting too much of their time on the internet without even realizing it.
That's really funny you said that. That first of all, yeah, that totally shocked me. Kevin and I, like, across the studio, when you said people who set fire to themselves, we were like, oh, my God.
Like, that's intense.
And then, yeah, and then you said computers, and then we were like, oh, my God.
Like what?
You know? Yeah, I honestly totally hear what you're saying when you say computers. One of my dearest friends, I will love him till the day I die. He is, honestly, that is all he does. Computer, that's all I'm going to say. I don't want to go off on my friends. But basically, he is addicted to the computer. And it's so bad, and it is self-destructive.
Because
it's
he's secluding himself.
Yeah.
He's secluding himself to his room, to his computer, not getting out there. Not,
yeah. No, totally.
Yeah.
You know, and it completely is self-destructive. Julia, I wanted you to go on a bit more on the inspirations for the book.
Okay, now I don't know if that's a polite way of asking, and by the way, if it is a polite way of asking, you're doing it very graciously, so I appreciate it. If I myself am or have been a cutter, because that's something that always comes up, and it's fair game to ask, is that why I wrote this book?
That's
I've never been a cutter. I've never taken a razor to my skin and sliced into my flesh. However,
that is good.
Yeah. I've absolutely felt the kind of despair Willow's felt. Yeah. I've absolutely felt that kind of isolation, that utter sense that nobody understands you. And most of all, what I felt, and this is really what cutting is about, is the inability to process emotion in a correct and healthy manner.
Mm.
People think that cutting is about suicide, that it's a dress rehearsal for suicide, and in fact, Willow says at one point, it's not a dress rehearsal for suicide. She explains that.
Right,
what cutting is someone who's so overwhelmed with emotion that they don't know how to process it, so they turn it into physical pain, which, counterintuitive as it sounds, they're in control of. They feel like they're just about to be blown away, swept up by this tidal wave of emotion, and they cause themselves physical harm. And it transmutes the emotional pain into physical pain.
Right.
They're in charge of it. They're in control of it.
Right.
Oh, it's a coping mechanism. It's not about trying to kill yourself.
Right. I honestly, that, yeah, you know, that also ties into psychology, all this stuff, and I'm very familiar with psychology. I took a few classes, read a few books, you know, but basically, yeah, like cutting, and, you know, that goes along with, you know, drug use and, you know, too much computer, you know, all that stuff. Like,
any maladaptive behavior, too much eating.
Yeah, too much of anything, you know, like imbalance. That is truly not, you know, it's not about the suicide. It is about the cry for help. It is about the emotional, like, internal scars and tears that, like, you as a person, I guess, you know, have a difficult time just dealing with, just coping with, like, you know, coping with life. I have had friends in the past who have cut themselves, and they've come to me and they've talked to me about it. Very, very close friends who I love dearly. And they, you know, you wouldn't expect it. You really wouldn't expect it. These friends of mine, they were doing it every single day, and they were deep. They were, like, deep, and they would call me, and I'm sorry, I'm, like, getting kind of chills and whatever. Bad times. But no, it's really sad. It is so sad that people, you know, have to numb themselves by causing pain.
It's hard for teens to, like, control those emotions. And just like as a teen, you're still learning, and you're still learning how to like control your feelings and your emotions, whether it's love or hate or whatever it is. And it's just like learning to control that. And if that's the only way they know how to do it, that's what they're going to resort to. And so, it turns into an addiction. Yeah. And it just takes over.
And many teenagers, especially Willow, don't feel that they have a safe place to express their feelings or a safe person to express their feelings too. Now, Dave, I don't know what's going on with your friends who are cutters. And I'm extremely sorry to hear about this, and very sorry for them and that you were put in that position. But I can tell you one thing. And that the second they told you about it, wherever they are on their path right now, whether they're still cutters or not, the second they told you about it was the second they started their healing process. There's a saying in the 12-step programs that you're only as sick as your secrets. And you begin to heal the minute you let someone else in on that secret. It may be 5 years down the road, but you have started that path. And that's what happens with Willow when Guy finds out her secret.
Yeah, when Guy.
That's the second that she begins the road to recovery, when he discovers her scars on the campus lawn.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Touche. Like, that's awesome. What?
Now, you have to tell me something. As a guy, as a young man, both
as a
of
young
you.
Man, yes.
I, there are two of you, right? For a minute, I thought I heard a third voice.
Yeah, no, yeah, there are two of us, yes.
Okay. Did you find this book as romantic as all the young women I've talked to have found it? Or did that aspect of it just leave you cold?
Willow, this is Kevin talking. So when I first read the synopsis of the book, I was like, wow, this is going to be a very intense story. Like, I can see there's going to be that romance in there. And I felt like I'm not going to be able to relate because I don't cut, you know? But the book I'm sorry. But, like, these are just, like, my initial
instincts. Go on, real talk. That's
but,
fine.
Like, after, like, you get into it, and you, like, you do relate to it, because it's not just, like, the cutting that, like, you know, it's how, just how she is, and how
everything.
She feels, and you can relate to that so well.
And you see,
like, once she meets Guy, you can, like, see that romance building. I am a bit of a romanticist. Like, I've read all the Twilight books, like, you know, like, like, I'm into books like that, and I thought this was an absolutely amazing book, and you can just see that relationship growing between them, and it just opens your eyes to, like, wow, like, this is an amazing relationship between them. It's so strong and so powerful, and then you just, like, strive to, like, build that for yourself or something, like, relate it to yourself, and, like, build that for yourself, and
totally.
I do believe it was a very romantic story, and, like, it was happy ending, you know?
Julia, I have to agree with Kevin. I did feel the romance. I did. As a teenage boy, I guess what I got a lot from the book, and it's kind of weird. As I was reading it, I was kind of imagining myself almost in, like, Guy's position. I was trying to, like, relate myself as I was reading the book to some aspect
of the
book.
I have to say, I'm going to interrupt you, although I shouldn't, because you guys are so articulate, and you're saying such great things, that really I'm shoving my foot down my throat.
No,
I looked you up online, I looked up your website, and I saw your picture, I thought, gee, he could play a guy in a movie.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Maybe one day, we'll see. But yeah, no, honestly, not at all. Please, all the credit goes to you. Like, the book was fantastic. But to get back to the romantic part, I wanted to relate myself to some aspect of the book, because, you know, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be interviewing her, like, I wanna get a piece of what it's about. So, you know, coming from an emotional aspect within myself. So I kind of related myself to Guy, and I've been, like I spoke earlier, I've been in situations close to Guy, definitely not as intense, not nearly as tense, but you know, situations very similar to the fact where, you know, friends, you know, give this information to me, and they seek help, and I felt the romance. I did, I'm not gonna lie, I felt it. I felt like the more I don't know, I felt like it was like climbing a ladder. It was this is the way that like I would explain the romance from a 17-year-old boy point of view in the book Willow. I'm like climbing. Hey, what's up, puberty? No, I'm right.
That's very flattering that your voice went up. I'm glad the book affected you so much. You guys are fantastic hosts. I mean, I have to say, I've been on a lot of radio shows by now. I am no longer a radio virgin
as I once was.
But you are too fun. I love talking to you two, and that little voice going up right there was very charming.
So you're
climbing a ladder.
Yeah, no. I felt like I'm climbing a ladder, and like I'm reaching for Willow. Like I keep like reaching, but Willow's like at the top of the ladder. Yeah, let me explain that. Willow's like at the top of the ladder, and I'm climbing it, and I feel like that she's like putting her hand down to like help me up, but at the same time, she's kind of like hesitant. You know, she's kind of like I'll help you up. But I'm, like, climbing. I'm like, no! Like please, you know, like...
Like, let me help you. Yeah. You know, like, let me be there for
and
you.
And then eventually, it just turns. Like, she puts her hand down, and I grab it, and she pulls me up. And, that's the way I felt. And that's, like, when they start to, like, level out, when she really starts to, you know, allow him to heal her, you know? And allow...
The way of driving it.
Yeah, I don't know. Was that weird?
No, it's absolutely beautiful. I'm very, very touched that you saw it that way, and I hope that many of my readers would have the same reaction. And as I said, it's very, very interesting to me to talk to a young man. I've mostly talked to young women about the book, so that was a very beautiful way of describing it, Dave.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Julia. Just to let all the listeners know, in case you guys just tuned in, you're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends on LATalkRadio.com. My guest today is Julia Hoban, the author of Willow. Fortunately, we're talking with her about the book, about how just the book. It's a wonderful book. We're asking her questions, what inspired her and whatnot. Julia, I have another question that I'm going to throw at you.
Okay, hope
all
I
right.
can answer it.
All right, let's keep our fingers crossed. No, what are some of the lessons that you want to help readers learn in your book?
I'll actually quote from a review. I hope that isn't pretentious, and I hope that isn't sort of squirming out of the question, but one reviewer said something which sums it up better than I ever could, and they said that the essential and uplifting message of Willow is that not every problem can be solved, but there is no bad situation that cannot be improved.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that I would really like people to take away from the book.
Okay,
Julia.
Yeah,
okay,
Kevin.
When I was reading the book, books, I like look for quotes, and like I find quotes that are very meaningful to me. And the one quote that I wrote down, I wrote it down, I put it on a piece of paper, and that piece of paper is still in my wallet today.
I've got it here. What is it?
That exact quote that you just said, not all bad situations can be fixed.
Yeah.
They can be improved.
Hysterical.
Like, it opens your mind. And I feel like after reading that book, I grew as a person. And literally a week after I finished reading the book, I was presented with the situation where someone came to me needing help. And they were at a very low point, and they're like, oh, well, it wasn't related to cutting, but it was related to drugs. Like, I'm feeling down, I need drugs, and I just, you stop them, like, right there, and you, like, I will be there for you. Like, I'll be that heroine. Like, I will be, like, what you need to help you get through. And I honestly feel like I've grown so much just from reading this book. And this is from a 17-year-old man, like, guy, boy, whatever you
man.
Want to call
no, you're a man.
Man.
you call yourself a man. No. Yeah.
That's very, very wonderful to hear. If I can ask if the person who told you, if it's possible for you to also share their secret with an adult, possibly mental health professional, that might be something that you could.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get involved in that, but it's a very big responsibility that your friend has laid on you, and it's not always easy for someone. It's not easy for a 50-year-old to deal with it, or a 30-year-old to deal with it, let alone a 17-year-old. So I hope you have someone to talk to about that situation.
Yes, I've been talking to my friend's mom, who is a psychologist, and I've been asking her opinion about it. And it was one of those like low points in my friend's life. And
clearly,
we helped I helped her out of it. Like, we helped each other out of it, because at that point in my life too, like, I was a little down, feeling down,
yeah.
You know, but like, just like talking through problems. Like, the main thing I learned from this, besides the quote that you said earlier, was talking. And just like people,
absolutely,
like talking with people is the best way to overcome that pain inside of you. No matter what drugs you take, no matter how much you cut, it just suppresses it, and the pain is always there.
Yeah.
And the more you just talk with it and just like think about like the positive things in your life, the more you like grow and the happier you become.
Right.
I really think one of the central themes of the book is communication, or the problems that arise from lack of communication. She heals because of her communication with Guy. She has tremendous problems because of her lack of communication with her brother, where they both feel that they can't talk to each other because of this accident that's happened. And they both desperately need to talk to each other, and yet there's this wall between them. And then finally, at the end, of course, that wall comes tumbling down, and they do talk. But to me, the book is very, very much about the importance of communication in our lives and how often we cut off communication without realizing it.
I'm sorry. Go on.
Will has this whole idea in her head of why her brother's not talking to her.
Right.
She thinks he hates her.
Right.
And on his side, it's very much, can I bring this up or will it cause her more pain?
Right. I think along with communication, which has everything to do with communication, effective communication at least, is trust. I think this book has another underlying message of trust. You know, you have to find somebody, just a being, you know, a person who you can love, you know, and trust and care for, and you know that at the end of the day that person will be there for you, you know. Julie, I want to get on to another question. What type of responses from teens and other readers have you had?
Well, going along with communication and trust, I'm going to say that there's one subgroup of response which really shocked me, and I never expected. We've touched on how romantic this book is. This book is sort of, if I was expecting any criticism about this book, and indeed I did get this kind of criticism, it was the idea that a young woman is in trouble and Prince Charming comes along, perfect boyfriend, she falls in love with him, and he helps her. Now, that isn't the message I was trying to send. It wasn't that you have to meet the perfect boyfriend. It was that you have to connect with someone, and you have to be able to learn to express your feelings and trust someone, as you just said, Kevin, and learn to love someone. It happened to be a boy. It happened to be a heterosexual relationship, because that's just the way I'm built.
Yeah, there you go.
But
yeah.
I got a tremendous amount of mail from young gay men and women who told me, I would say about 30% of the responses I got were from young gay men and women who told me that this book gave them the courage to come out, and specifically there was one point in the book that was mentioned over and over. And that was, as we just touched upon, the conversation that she finally does have with her brother, and how emotionally honest that conversation was. Because many readers are sort of waiting the whole book for, well, when is it going to ever, blow up with her brother? When are they ever going to have it out? When are they ever going to resolve it? And I think many people were expecting the brother to say, oh, Willow, I love you. Everything's fine. It's all right. And he doesn't say that. He says, even though I adore you and always will, there are times when I'm angry with you, even though I know that's crazy, because every aspect of my life, every stupid aspect has been changed. I can no longer walk around the apartment in my underwear.
Right.
I can't do all these things I used to do, because now I have to be your parent as well.
Right.
And I was told by this one subgroup that I heard from that conversation really made them realize that they could no longer be with their friends and family and not come out and be who they were.
Yeah,
they had to be emotionally honest.
Yeah.
And that was very, very surprising to me, because it is such a sort of traditional heterosexual love story.
Yeah, Julia, I have to say, you know, as a person, just for, you know, like personal accomplishments, touche.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
Thank you.
That you can, you know, that you can just like take you know, a piece of your brilliant mind and, you know, make a book. Oh no, it's completely true. It's completely true.
You guys are moving to New York tomorrow. I'm paying for the airfare. Coming here, we're gonna have a great time. that's
like
very
plan.
Kind of you.
Yeah.
I should say I've had other responses as well. I've had some incredibly moving responses. Someone posted on BarnesandNoble.com that they were given the book while they were in the hospital for cutting.
Oh, wow.
And it saved their life. However, I should also tell you that there are people who hate the book more than anything. If you go online, you're going to find, at this point, a few thousand reviews.
That's crazy.
And 90% of them are incredibly flattering and incredibly moving and are incredibly inspiring for me as an author to read and say, this book changed my life. I love this book. It meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And 10% of them say I should be thrown in prison, the key should be tossed aside, I should never be allowed to put pen to paper again, and it's the worst book they've ever read.
What? Oh, my God.
you don't find many people going, no, I kind of liked it. Yeah, sure, it was an okay read.
Maybe,
doesn't seem to have that effect on people.
Maybe, check this one, let's throw a little curveball here. Maybe the people who hate the book are there's something within themselves that, you know, they're afraid of their feelings or they're afraid of their own emotions because, no, like, really, like, I mean, you know, every person has, you know, their own interpretation and their own beliefs and whatnot, but, you know, I don't see it. Like, I don't see how somebody can like, write negatively about this book.
That's very kind of you.
No, it's true. Like, I really don't, I mean, I'm really interested. Like, what kind of, like, things, like, did they say? Like, what did they say that they had a problem with? Like, like, oh.
They seem to have a problem with the things that the people who love it love. As I said, I've gotten a lot of feedback that the book was very emotionally honest.
Yeah.
The people who don't like it find the characters emotionally dishonest. They said that they really didn't believe it. I've also had two polarizing responses on this subject, and I'm starting to blush about what I'm about to talk about, even though I know how sophisticated you guys are, and probably you're more sophisticated than I am about this. But,
no.
But let's just
on.
Bring it up. Willow and Guy have sex.
Right, yeah, right.
And when you write a young adult novel that has sex, the people who publish the novel, your editor, the publicist, everyone gets a little nervous, which is frankly kind of ridiculous, because all you guys have to do is go on the internet or turn on Gossip Girl, and you're going to see things that that I don't even know about.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true, yeah.
Some of the feedback I've gotten, and particularly from parents, has been that they really, really appreciate the way sex was handled in this book. And one phrase that was repeated many times, that one reviewer said it, and it was sort of picked up and went viral, was that these characters don't just have technical safe sex, which, by the way, I would cut off my arm before I had two teenagers have sex without correct birth control in one of my books.
Yeah.
But they don't just have technical safe sex. They have emotional safe sex.
Right.
They're very much in love. It's very much, I'm not condoning teen sex. I'm not saying I think I'm for it or against it.
Right.
But
at
that point in their lives, it's very appropriate for them.
Like, it's something that totally, you know, goes beyond the preconceived notion of, like, you know, what society thinks of teens and, you know, quote-unquote, like, teen sex, you know?
Like,
it's
right.
Like, come on, you know? I'm sorry, Kevin, did you want to say? I was just going to say, I feel that, like, how, you know, publishers and you know, other people could be like, oh, you know, you're condoning teen sex. Like, what is this? But really, like for the book, it's perfect, you know? Because every... Oh, no.
It's realism.
True. Yeah, please go on.
The book is just so realistic
it's
and
real.
So honest.
Yeah.
And that's why the readers, and especially the younger readers, can relate to it so amazingly well. Because it's not fairy tale. It's not sugar-coated. It's life.
It's like, all right, here's a little piece of reality. You know, like this happens. Like, this shit's real. Excuse my French.
That's okay.
But, you know, you know, another thing. Oh, sorry. Please go on.
Can I interrupt you?
Oh, of course.
I don't know if you noticed this, But I talked about how I wanted to take this character from this very self-destructive place to a place of healing.
Right.
I also wanted, I very, very much wanted to address my feelings about how teen sexuality is presented in our culture in this book.
Yeah.
And there are two ways that teens having sex tend to be portrayed in young adult literature. One is it's utterly glamorized, like Gossip Girl. You have sex, yeah. It goes along with the Valentino bag, it goes along with Manolo Blahnik shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, yeah. Now, by the way, I am not putting down Gossip Girl. I am addicted to Gossip Girl, okay? If nothing else, then for those accessories I just mentioned. I love Gossip Girl.
Yeah, 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 that's funny.
But one kind of way that teen sex is presented is this very glamorized, consequence-free, no such thing as, you know, HIV or STDs or pregnancy.
Yeah.
Let's just go at it.
Yeah.
The other way that teen sex is presented in the young adult literature is with tragedy as a consequence. It either ends in abortion, adoption, or shoving your baby in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have at least one couple have sex with proper birth control, where they were deeply in love, and where nothing bad came of it, yeah. Nor was it glamorized.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but just as I took her from being a cutter to someone who eventually, at the end of the book, we think she's going to heal and renounce cutting.
Yeah, yeah.
At the very beginning of the book, when Guy first finds out she's a cutter, do you remember what she does? How she tries to get him not to tell? She says, if I sleep with you,
will you not
tell anyone?
Yeah, yeah, she's like, exactly.
The reason I did that is because her offering to have sex with someone she's known for 24 hours is in no way less self-destructive than cutting herself.
Right,
yeah.
Totally. I thought that was a terrible thing for a young woman, or that would be a terrible thing for a young woman to do, to meet someone, barely know their name, and say, well, do you want to have sex with me? It's profoundly self-destructive. It's profoundly disrespectful of their body and their sexuality.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wanted to take a character who had such little respect for their own sexuality from that place to having sex in this way, which, frankly, it's sort of like the idealized way of teen sex. I was interviewed on another LA show about 10 days ago, and the host was a mature woman, and she talked about how it was like the dream lose your virginity scene. I mean, I don't want to put you guys on the spot and ask you anything, but said it was sort of the dream lose your virginity scenario, and how adult women all wish that it could have been this way.
Yeah.
And that was something I was really going for, someone who was willing to completely throw away their virginity in a way that was horrible to learning an appropriate way of handling their sexuality.
Yeah.
And that's something that you asked me about negative responses. That's something that's gotten a profound amount of positive response from parents and librarians.
Yeah.
And some negative response.
I have to say that, like, the way that you portrayed the sex, you know, it totally, like, okay, the cool thing about it was, like, it wasn't, and I no joke, believe it or not, I actually noticed this. Like, I took note to this in the book.
Uh-huh.
When you portrayed the sex, you had a balance. You had a balance between, like, kind of, okay, so, you know, like, the MTV feel. Like, oh, yeah, you know, like you were talking about before, you know, oh, just have sex, woo, no consequence, you know. Okay, there's that side of her, like, that you totally see. Like, it's that self-destructive, the, like, you know, I'm just going to throw away my virginity, like, you know, I'll sleep with you if you don't tell anybody, you know. Like, there's that side, but other much more powerful forces get involved. Like, trust, like, mm-hmm. Love.
Jinx.
Very much so.
Love. Which completely, like, balances it out. You know, which takes, like, the typical, you know, distraught teenage ideal and forms it into, like, something beautiful.
Something real.
You know, it's true. It's the way you did it. Thank you.
You know, we're going on and on about this, and I should say to your listeners who are thinking, maybe this cutting book isn't so bad after all. It might be pretty steamy. I mean, you blink and you miss the sex scene, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so tame. You might even think that I didn't, you know, that I'm a virgin. I mean, it's written in a very, very tame fashion to those parents who are listening to the show right now. I mean, it could not be less graphic.
It was very subtle. It was very subtle. Just leading into it, there's no like description during. So that's
right.
Otherwise, that'd be like that'd be a different kind of book.
He put that there. No, just a joke.
Julia, I have a. There was one thing that pondered my mind for a while, and that's. When Guy has, I'm sorry that we keep revolving on the sex part of the book, but Guy says he had a condom, and he put it in his wallet like the first time, I forget if it was like the first time that he met her, or the first time
Not
that she
first
was like,
time she met her.
But the first time it she was like, oh, I'll have sex with you, or if this, is that when he did it?
It's when he, there's a scene in the book where Willow comes to another girl's defense. I don't know if you remember this. She's in the physics lab, and this girl messes up an experiment, the teacher's going to get her in trouble, and Willow says it was her fault.
Right.
And Guy says that he's just so amazed by that. That is a real turning point for him in his relationship with her. And he says to her, I couldn't believe that someone who was in as much pain as you were in and having the profound difficulties that you had were able to come to somebody else's defense. That's when I decided that I knew I would never meet another girl like you. And he says, you know, I didn't think that we would necessarily end up this way, and I didn't think that,
better safe than sorry.
I didn't rush to a drugstore, but I just knew that I wanted to be prepared. Now, that might be slightly idealized and, you know.
No, it puts
like making him a little too perfect, but I did very, very much want to have birth control openly mentioned in this. Didn't know how else to have it. Except to have him say that.
It puts a good perspective in a guy's like point of view. A guy reading the book, it shows you, and it's really a learning book. It was very much a learning book for me, and just, I grew a lot from it, and you just learn so many different things from it.
I honestly,
you guys are too fun. I'm just falling in love with the both of you, and I never say things like that. I usually just sort of
let's do coffee
nice talking
sometime.
To you too. But you guys are great. I really haven't had the experience, except by email exchange and letter, of talking to any young men. The only young men I've talked to have been, as I said, online or. But not on the phone, and it's fantastic.
Of course, no, it totally is. You know, and as much of a pleasure as it is for you to talk to us, it is more the pleasure for us to be, you know, speaking with the author of this book. I'm really, really, really.
Absolutely.
I gotta say, I truly agree with Kevin. You know, you come into the book skeptical. You know, you come into the book with an open mind and with, you know, kind of a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be completely 100% straight with you, Julia. I opened the book and I had a preconceived notion. Just a preconceived.
Everyone does.
Everybody does. You know, I had a preconceived notion that it was going to be, you know, depressing. Just a depressing book. You know, not at all. It honestly, it's lessons. Like, it's taking, you know, real life. Like, here's a chunk of reality. I'm going to throw it on some paper and, you know, learn from it, dude. Like, it's like, really? No. Like, really. Everybody, all these listeners, just so that you guys know, in case you just tuned in, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. We are on the air live, latalkradio.com. We're talking with Julia Hoban, the author of Willow. We've had a great show so far. We've been talking a lot about the book. One last thing that I want to ask you, Julia, is and you know, this goes into a wide spectrum, because this book, honestly, this book is gonna get, it already is, but it's a big book. Like, this is a big book. You know, it's gonna make an impact. I'm being completely honest with you. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, real books out there these days.
Thank you. I hope your listeners go and pick up a copy. I will say, to give myself a plug, it came out 2 weeks ago, and it went into its second printing in 5 days.
Oh, wow. What I tell you, right?
That's a big like, book,
that's,
yeah.
That's what's up.
Congratulations, Julia.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's cool. I wanted to get one last question in. What type of impact do you hope to make on readers with your story?
What I said before, that while there problem that... Well, let me read the quote again. The essential and uplifting message of Willow is that not every problem can be solved, but there's no bad situation that cannot be improved. Look, if you're a member of the human race, chances are, at some point, you're going to get the stuffing kicked out of you 6 weeks from Sunday.
Yeah.
The question isn't, are you going to run into trouble? The question is, how are you going to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go on again?
Yeah, that's
cool. You might have some detours on that road, as my character does. She resorts to a very, very terrible form of self-destructive behavior. But she does come out on the other side. And I want readers to know that there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
Look, how much time do we have? Do I have at least a minute?
Yeah, We got like 4 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay, when I was a little girl, I lived in the Middle East. I lived in Israel.
Oh, very cool.
And my mother was a volunteer at an art center, and I would go and help her there sometimes, like, you know, with the juice and the cookies. And a significant percentage, about 90% of the very old people there, were survivors of the concentration camps.
Oh, wow.
And I learned a profound lesson at the age of 9. There were people who would come in there who had been survivors, and who would come in, they'd pick up their juice and cookies, and they'd sit and stare at the wall all day. You know, they'd lost their family in Auschwitz, their life had been destroyed. And that is a completely understandable reaction.
Yeah.
And there were people who would come in who'd lost their whole family in the camps and go, oh, my God, did you see how gorgeous it is today? And those flowers. I mean, oh, I'm just so thrilled to be alive.
Yeah.
Because they had been through so much, and they had come out on the other side, and they were able to appreciate every single second of free air that they breathed.
Oh, my God.
And the lesson I learned, and Shakespeare said it a long time ago, is that there's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We are all going to be in horrible situations.
Yeah.
I hope that most of us will be spared the concentration camps, and most of us will be spared losing our families in a car crash.
Yeah.
But we're going to have bad things happen to us, and we are going to have to choose how to respond. And that is the lesson of Willow.
That one thing on the show that I've said multiple times, and I you know, it revolves around many topics that we do on the show, is I try to pass people the sense of awareness and pass people the sense of understanding that literally you control the way you feel. Like, you can you control your thoughts, and you control how you react to certain experiences in your life, and you control whether you grow from them, or, you know, whether you decide to give up. But the thing about giving up is, you need to know that giving up, that's not because of, you know, oh, life is too hard. No.
It's a choice you make.
It's a choice you make. Yeah. Go, Kevy, go.
And I think a lot of things that happen with teens are, like, the main thing with teens is they don't see that light at the end of the tunnel, and they just get stuck in the dark. And it's so much easier. It's, I hate to say it, but it is really so much easier to focus on the negative things.
Right.
And you feel like, oh, well, where is that happiness in my life? It's just things that you're overlooking. And the more positive you think, and the more you can see the good things, however subtle they are, that is what makes your life enjoyable. And when you focus on the negative and the hardships, it kills everything. It kills your mood.
Yeah.
Kills your energy.
Real quick, Julia, one last question. Where can people get the book, and how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can get the book at Barnes & Noble, at Borders, and at Amazon, and I certainly hope your listeners will. You're going to laugh when you hear this one, okay? Julia does not have a website. I'm taking over where J.D. Salinger left off in terms of being eccentric and hard to reach, but every single person who has written me and cares my publisher, I have personally written back. I have personally handwritten them a note back, and I've, in fact, found some very warm friendships that way with people that I continue to write to. I'm as eccentric as I'll get out. Actually, Willow is coming out in England next week, and I was asked to write a piece for a major British newspaper, and I wrote about, you can look this up on the web, how I carry a parasol every day. That should give you an idea of how strange I am. However, people write to me, care of my publisher, the old-fashioned way, they will get a personal response back.
Well, that's very cool. Thank you. Thank you so much, Julia. Just let everybody know. I've been interviewing this show with Julia Hoban, the author of the best-selling book, Willow. It's an amazing story about a 17-year-old girl named Willow who is filled with depression and guilt. Starts doing self-destructive actions, but eventually gets through her trauma. It will completely change you as a person. It really does. It really, really does. Thank you so much, Julia, for being on the show. It has been a pleasure. Hopefully,
you guys are so much fun.
Oh, well, you know what? You're just as fun. Hopefully, in the future, we can we set something up. We'll talk. We'll stay in contact.
Get some coffee.
Yeah, we'll get some coffee.
Definitely.
Sometime. All right, Julia. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Guys, this has been Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. A wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Thank you so much for listening. Willow, check it out, guys. It's a great book. If you want to email me, talk to me about anything you want, you can get dcsboarding514@aol.com. Once again, that is dcsboarding514@aol.com. Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. You guys have a wonderful Sunday.
Have a great guy.
Thank
great
you, guys.
Day.
Oh, my God. Bye-bye.
Later.